We're going to be reading from John chapter 4, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. You may be seated. I usually, after being up here a few times in the last 2 years, I don't have too much anxiety anymore. But this topic today is definitely a bit more challenging. It's a long. We could talk about praise and worship for weeks, possibly even years. There's only so much time that we have to cover. That's why I thank Pastor Philippe for giving me the opportunity to break this into two topics, to break it into two messages this morning as well as tonight. So if I do a good job this morning, all of you are going to be here tonight, right? Or we'll see. That's how we're going to evaluate this. Well, it is a wonderful topic because praise and worship is something that we do constantly. Pay attention to that word, constant. It's not daily, it's not weekly, it's not monthly, but it's all the time. And it's when we're in the car, when we're at work, when we're with our friends, when we're at church, all the time we praise and worship the Lord. Praise and worship is mandatory. It's must do. There's absolutely no buts about it. We must praise and worship our God, our Savior. After church one Sunday morning, a mother was and her family were driving in the car, and the mother said, "The worship songs were awful this morning." The father commented, "The sermon was too long." To which the 7-year-old daughter said, "You got to admit it was pretty good for a dollar, right?" So, of course, we don't come with a dollar to church. My job is not really to entertain you. That's not the purpose. And it's very challenging for the youth pastor come up here, or the youth minister, or the pastors to come up here, the youth leaders and the worship team to come here and present and lead the church. It's very challenging because we don't want to entertain you, but instead we want you to be aware that you're in the presence of God, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that it's not me but God, and the Holy Spirit wants you to learn these things today. When I prepare for praise and worship, as well as when I prepare the youth message, there's a lot of things going on. First is prayer, more prayer, more prayer. Then some anxiety, right? A lot of sweaty palms, a lot of consumption of Dr. Pepper, right? Ignoring my wife, making my wife mad. I walk in the kitchen trying to repeat what I'm going to say to you. I walk in the living room, the kitchen, confused and disoriented. I drive, I have my message, and I kind of try to memorize as much as I can. People are looking at me really weird, but it's very difficult to be up front. But see, I used to think that the responsibility of the youth messages and the worship songs used to be on the shoulder of the people that were in front of you, but it's not. The whole responsibility actually falls on you. Because, and this is very important, you have to understand this, you are not a listener. You are a participant in worship.
Amen. Amen.
So that is the important thing, that to understand that we are here and we are given from God or the Holy Spirit the information, but you need to participate with us in glorifying the Lord. The responsibility falls on me and you when we listen to Pastor Philip or Pastor Serbu, because worship is not about them preaching to us, but together we worship the Lord.
Amen?
Amen. So before we talk about praise and worship, we need to understand that the responsibility falls on you and me. We participate together to worship the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, 19 and 20 says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always sing, giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Worship is an issue of the heart. So first, we are all worshiping together, but worship itself is an issue of the heart. In Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and caution one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart." So while the person in front of you, the pastor, the leader, the worship team, whoever comes in front of you, it's their responsibility to speak the word of God, we, the participants, have to prepare our hearts. We have to prepare our hearts to receive, to understand, and to apply the message in our lives. When I go to work, I have to be prepared. When you go to school, you have to be prepared. When you go out, you have to be prepared. Who are you going to go out with? Where are you going to go? What are you guys going to talk about, right? All those things are having to prepare. Although you probably don't even think about it, but you're preparing yourselves. So what happens is that when you come to church, it has to be the same way. It's not about what you're going to wear or who you're going to sit next to. Actually, it's about preparing your heart to receive, to understand the Word of God. I look at the church and I see many adults complaining that, you know, we got drums or the songs are too modern. We sort of seem to stop right there, right? We don't realize that we complain all the time that the music is too boring. Well, who's right? Neither. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. It's all about God. And together we come together and praise and worship Him. In order to be able to praise and worship God, we need to answer not what kind of style of music we sing, what kind of songs move us. Instead, what is our relationship with God and our heart in connection with Christ? So the bottom line, things we need to understand before we dwell any more in praise and worship, is worship is participation altogether. Worship is a matter of the heart, and we need to prepare our hearts to receive, understand, and apply it to our lives. Why did I choose this topic? Well, you see, this is a glimpse of what we do here and what you do at home and with your family. When we praise and worship God, it's a glimpse of heaven. It's a glimpse of what we are going to do when we meet Jesus Christ in his heaven. How do I know that? Go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, and we're going to read this. So Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. Revelation chapter 4, 8 through 11. "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with the eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, our Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being.'" Amen. So that's what it means. And that's why when we worship, true worship, okay, means that when we all are connected in spirit and in truth, praise and glorify the Almighty God. What is worship? Worship is an action. Worship is dynamic. Worship is transformational. Worship is anticipatory. You see, when it's action, you pray, you sing, you speak, you say, you don't say, you ponder, you meditate, you raise your hands up, you dance, you shout. It's an action. Whatever you do, it's an action. Worship is dynamic. It moves you. It changes, constantly shifting you in the direction of God's character, His love, His mercy, His power. Worship is transformational. It transforms you, changes you. It connects you and plugs you into God's being. And when you worship, you are being transformed and you lose yourself in God's glory. And at last, it's anticipatory, meaning that you anticipate. When you worship God, you anticipate how it's going to be in heaven. And how it's going to be when you are going to worship Him. These are the four characteristics of praise and worship. And when you do them at home, when you're in church, wherever you are, you have to look at how you're worshiping God and say, are those four characteristics true? You see, our worship must be action, always moving, never stops. Dynamic, right? Always full of life, transformational, always changing and of course, anticipatory. If we do all this, praise and worship, we worship from the heart, we worship together, we worship moving in action, changing dynamic, and transforms us, you're going to go home and you're never going to complain. Instead, you're going to go home and you're going to worship more.
Yes.
And you're going to worship more. You're going to worship with your friends. You're going to worship with your colleagues. You're going to worship with your family. Because that's what our Lord wants. Because He deserves all the praise, glory, and honor.
Amen.
Amen.